Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're a small business owner, and you eat what you kill.
We're back. 13 After, thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. Let me tell you who our guest is this hour. He's become a good friend now. He's been with us before on the show. His name is Dr. Pierce Howard. He's the Director of Research for the Center for Applied Cognitive Studies in Charlotte, North Carolina. His book is called The Owner's Manual for the Brain, and I know that he has been on the Oprah Winfrey Show talking about it, which we're going to get him. I'd like for him to tell us a little bit about in a minute. He's also been interviewed by Playboy. Dr. Howard, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. That's quite a setup.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Now, what I want to know is when you were interviewed.
I wonder what Oprah would think about that that company of hers that you're putting her with.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, actually, you did it yourself. but I wanted to ask you, when they interviewed you for Playboy, and they asked you what your likes and dislikes were, what did you tell them? I'm sure you told them you hated liars and things like that.
Well,
I'm not going to get into your measurements or anything like that. I don't really want to know any of that information. But I was just curious about how that interview went.
Well, they rejected most of my poses.
They did?
Yeah. In fact,
I can't imagine.
Technically, I wasn't interviewed by Playboy. I was interviewed by a writer who does an article for Playboy. He's a freelance writer.
Yeah.
And it was an article on fitness.
I see. But you actually were referenced in Playboy.
Oh, yes, the August issue.
I'm sorry I missed that. I don't know how that happened, but I'm sorry I missed it. But tell me about what happened on Oprah.
Well, Oprah's story is similar to one of many. She was bothered by what she perceived as forgetfulness.
Uh-huh.
And she was at a gathering in which somebody labeled it Yuppie Alzheimer's.
Yuppie Alzheimer's.
And information overload.
Uh-huh.
The condition that was characteristic of people who were trying to do too much and they had too much on their mind and they just couldn't remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so she asked her producers to do a program on Yuppie Alzheimer's. So they found my name on an internet search and called and said, tell us about information overload and Yuppie Alzheimer's. I said, well, to begin with, to the best of my knowledge, there's no such thing as Yuppie Alzheimer's. I said, basically what Yuppie Alzheimer's is, if I understand, they said things like Oprah would go to the station late at night and forget the security code.
Mm-hmm.
Or she'd do an interview on a Tuesday morning and Wednesday afternoon, she'd forgotten who the interview was with. And that sort of thing. And it was bothering her that she perceived that her memory was failing her. And the truth of the matter is, we go through life, and I don't know whether we touched on this last week or not, but we go through life in elementary school, in high school, in college, and some of us in graduate school, and day in and day out, we have developed the habit of memorizing, of focusing on things that we want to remember, whether it's a number or a name or a date or a place or a concept. And we study and we review, we go over and over and we practice and we rehearse. And then at the right moment, we have it committed to memory and we can use it. And then we graduate from school and we go into the workforce. And we abandon those habits. And we, at age 30, for example, will be reading U.S. News and World Report or Business Week or the Wall Street Journal. And next day at work, we say, you know, there was this article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday by, oh my gosh, now who was that about? Man, I'm getting old. I'm having a senior moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing my memory. Well, you're not losing your memory. You skimmed over an article and you can't remember it. I think the young people today would say, duh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, we expect to be able to remember without putting in the sweat equity, and that doesn't have anything to do with aging. It doesn't have anything to do with Alzheimer's. It has to do with not stopping to smell the roses, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to focus on the things that we want to remember.
I was actually complaining about the very same thing a little while back. And I was saying, I was concerned that maybe I was losing it a little bit, you know. And somebody who's close to me just reminded me that, you know, he said, Jim, do you realize how many more things you have introduced to your brain these days than you did 4 or 5 years ago? Not just in terms of overall societal things that we deal with, but myself in particular.
Yes.
With developing the show and all the different things I do around the show and all the different people that I work with. I mean, I've got, in the last 2.5 years, I have hundreds of new people in my network that I work very closely with. And it's probably a whole lot more than the average person does. And this person said, you know, just reminded me, you know, you've got all this, and I think she used the word information overload.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I read two newspapers a day. I get, you know, lots and lots of email in. I get books in to consider and lots of other stuff in and plus just and besides my normal work, the other stuff that I do in my other businesses, and sometimes it amazes me when I think about it that I remember anything.
Think of the hunter gatherer who is wandering through the savannas of Central Africa,
mm-hmm.
and think of all the fruits and the nuts and the grains and the animals and the birds. Think of, in the abundance of nature, think about what he encounters during a walk through the savannas of Central Africa. Think of all the data that's in that mind. And of all of that data, what he's going to remember is where there were some abundant grapes or some nuts that he can go back to tomorrow. That the hunter-gatherer has just as much a problem with information overload as we do. It's simply a matter of kind. It's a difference in kind.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have to focus on what's important, and we remember that. If we don't focus on what's important, we starve.
Well, you know, you said something a minute ago. You said something a minute ago that I thought was very interesting, and maybe you could help me with this. You know, I have a pretty good memory, and I have found that the more I exercise my memory and my brain, the better I am at it.
Absolutely.
But what I also found, you said something about that Oprah couldn't remember today who she had on the show yesterday.
I would maintain that her presence wasn't there. She really wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah. Stand by. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello.
Thank you very much for being part of our day. I appreciate your business. Dr. Pierce Howard is our guest this hour. He's the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain, and we're talking about memory. But before we get into that, Pierce, I want to use my memory and remember to get you to tell us where your book is available.
Well, thank you, Jim. The book is available at Standard Bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Little Professor. It's also available at Amazon.com. The publisher maintains a hotline toll-free at 1-800-945-3132.
The book is called The Owner's Manual for the Brain. The author is Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E, J. Howard, Ph.D. And we were talking about memory a little bit, Pierce, when we took the break, and I was asking you about this comment you made about Oprah. That kind of struck a chord with me because you said that Oprah was alarmed or concerned that on Wednesday she couldn't, if somebody said who'd you have on yesterday, she said she couldn't tell them, and that I've run into that myself. Sometimes that's happened to me. The odd thing is that I won't have any trouble remembering what that person said, but if you ask me abruptly, you know, who did you have on yesterday, for some reason I might not be able to say that. I'll have to think about it a little bit, and I have actually had to go back and look at my schedule, and that bothered me a little bit. But then I realized that from the time that person was on my show to the time you asked me, I had not only probably conducted a couple of more shows, but I had considered, you know, 10 or 15 more and maybe booked that many more.
Yes.
And so I had all those other things. It's sort of like someone said, I asked someone about something one time and they said, I don't remember, I've slept since then.
That's right.
And so what is it about that part of the memory?
Well, there are a couple of things. One, you did not forget the person's name. You simply didn't have access at the moment. That name was there. And one of the things that the research shows is that if you take a break after a new learning episode, let's say you do an interview for an hour or two, and then you go walk around the building for 10 or 15 minutes, and just get the cobwebs out, and what it will do is it will allow that memory to become entrenched. It will allow the new neural connections that were formed to become established. If, on the other hand, you engage in a brand new learning episode, turn right from one interview to another,
mm-hmm.
then what's likely to happen is that the new information drives out the old. The new learning drives out the old learning.
It's sort of like when you watch too many ball games in one day?
Exactly. and you don't take a break.
Remember when you'd watch in the old days, they don't do that as much anymore, but in the old days, it'd be maybe three or four bowl games on in one day. And you know, at the end of the day, you'd remember four or five great plays, but you couldn't remember which game they were in.
You know, my wife took an executive MBA program, and her hardest subject was accounting.
Uh-huh.
Because she's a verbal person.
Uh-huh.
And so I suggested to her that the strategy that she ought to pursue was to read her accounting assignments last thing at night before she went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so at 10 o'clock at night, she'd get out her accounting book and she'd read it. And what happened was she'd read that difficult material, she'd underline it, she'd outline it, everything, and she'd go to sleep. Now, what happened in her brain? The new neural connections that were formed while reading and studying were allowed to become established.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing competing with them.
I hadn't thought about that.
Become established.
That's a great idea.
And she made an A-plus on her accounting course. And I am sure that that's a major contributing factor.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I hadn't thought about that.
Now,
all right, so folks, if you've got something you're having difficulty with, and especially anybody who's out there studying, Try that out. I think that's a good idea.
It doesn't have to be just before bedtime, Jim. It could be before any significant break.
Yeah.
Like, do it before lunch and then go out and leave it for an hour. Maybe you're trying to learn a new computer program at work or something that's very tricky or some new procedure. And once you've had an encounter with it, get away from it for a while and don't try to take on anything new for the next couple of hours.
Can you consciously jettison something from your memory?
Very difficult.
You know, actually say, okay, I'm going to unfile that.
No.
I've tried to do that.
No, it's very, very difficult. In fact, one of the very distressing pieces of research says that the severe trauma from early childhood abuse or severe trauma from Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
Trauma, that sort of
right.
thing.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Syndrome that's escaping my mind.
Stand by. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to come back to this when we come back after these messages. Post-traumatic shock syndrome. That's the word we were searching for, Pierce.
Yes. Yes.
Dr. Pierce Howard is our guest this hour. He's the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. It's in his second edition, and I don't know how many printings, but second edition, and the third one's on the way out, right?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. That means it's successful, folks, and I'm proud of you for that, Pierce, and congratulations on that. But I was just asking you the question is, can you jettison something? I think I've actually had some success with that. Now, I may be wrong, but I've actually made a conscious effort to say, okay, I'm getting rid of that. That's something I don't want to know anymore, and I'm going to get rid of it. And especially things that are just inane and they pop into your head and you can't get rid of them, like an insidious song or something.
Yes.
But anyway, that made you think of the post-traumatic shock syndrome.
Yes. Well, there is one little technique that you can use to get rid of things. It won't get rid of them permanently. But, for example, if there is, even for example, like a nightmare or an image or a sound that you want to make make it leave your brain, at least for the moment. And the technique is to make the image, for example, get as bright as possible in your mind's eye until it becomes pure white, and then bring it back into focus and make it get as dark as possible until it becomes pure black, and make it go back and forth from pure white to pure black. And before you know it, you've got control over it, at least for the moment. Now, it's going to still come back from time to time, but you can turn it off. You can do the same thing with sounds. You can make, whether it's a word or music or what, you can turn the volume up so high that it becomes nothing but noise in your mind's ear. And then you can turn it down so quiet that there's nothing but stillness. And it's just like turning the knob on an mm-hmm. amplifier all the way up and all the way down. And it's simply a way of trying to vary the presence of that thing in your mind, and you can gain control over it that way.
I never thought about it like that. Talk to us about something I know that you spend a good bit of time talking about is solving performance problems.
Yes.
You've got some strategies for helping people do that.
There are three rules of thumb. These were developed by Robert Sternberg at Yale University. He is famous for legitimizing the concept of street smarts as a component of intelligence. He says that a street smart person, the degree to which a person has street smarts is measured by the degree to which that individual is able to manage his own mind. And in trying to solve problems, if a person always uses the same strategy, that's dumb. If a person uses a variety of strategies and varies the strategies depending on the situation, that's smarter. The three strategies that he says that the intelligent person has to choose from, and I'll give you a little kind of a mnemonic to remember these. You can change me, you can change thee, or you can change the situation. Now let's think in a work situation. You've got a worker who is not performing according to some standard of yours. You've got three choices. You can try to change the other person's performance. You can try to change how you're relating to that other person, or you can fire them. In other words, change me, mm-hmm. change thee, or change the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could try to change their performance. You could try to change your behavior, or you could reassign them to another task.
I like that, because what that does is that pretty much puts the solution that you're going to find, which is what you're looking for as a solution to this problem, it puts that into three nice little vessels from which you can go and work in either one of those and find your solution somewhere.
That's right. In other words, it may be that I've been trying to change you for 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's not worked. Then maybe I need to look at myself and say, maybe it's something that I'm doing or not
right.
doing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that'll work. And if neither one of those two works, you've still got the third alternative. I can redesign the job, I can reassign the person, or I can get rid of them, which
mm-hmm.
is the last. That admits the failure.
Right.
So
I like that.
When you have to get rid of somebody, that means you've either hired the wrong person or you fail to coach them properly. In either case, you have to own a lion's share of the responsibility.
How would you use that when you're talking about a strategy or a plan or an inanimate object or something like that? In other words, if I'm thee doesn't have to be a person. Thee could be the object of your intention, of your marketing plan or whatever.
That's correct. That's correct. So, in other words, you can either change the change the characteristics of what it is that's given you a problem. You can try mm-hmm. to change its characteristics. So, if it's a computer that you are having trouble working with, you can change the positioning of it. You can change the degree of glare, if you're getting headaches from working in your computer,
mm-hmm.
you can take it away from the window that's in front of you that the sun's coming in.
Me and thee and the situation.
Yes.
I like that. That's good. Stand by, Pierce. We're going to take a break. Folks, it's 7:39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Dr. Pierce Howard. He's the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. It's available in bookstores. It's available online. Check it out. We'll be right back after these messages. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Be sure to sign up for my newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. And be sure to check out our archives. We have over 250, close to 300, and a bunch more coming. These are historic shows that we've conducted with a lot of different folks. About 90 different experts represented in the archives, and I think you'll enjoy them. I've been getting a lot of great comments back, folks who have been enjoying those, and be sure to check those out when you get there. Pierce Howard is our guest, Dr. Pierce Howard. He's the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. The book's available in bookstores. Pierce, you have a website too, don't you?
Yes, www.centax.com.
Spell it.
C-E-N-T-A-C-S.
C-E-N-T-A-C-S.com. Centax. Check that out. What do they find when they get there, Pierce?
They will find a lot of information on the five-factor model of personality, which is particularly, they'll find some PowerPoint presentations. One of the things that we specialize in is the use of personality modeling in the workplace for selection, for professional development, and that sort of thing.
Right. Do you help companies with that?
Yes.
Okay. And if somebody wanted to contact you to hire you to do business with you, they could go to the site and make contact with you. They'll send you an email from your site?
Certainly.
Okay. I recommend you check that out, folks. And that's Centax, C-E-N-T-A-C-S,
yes.
.com. You've got another strategy. We were just talking about three generic strategies for solving performance problem, and you said either change me, thee, or the situation. I really like that little tool, but you've got another tool for three strategies for remembering.
Yes. We were talking earlier in the program about OPA and the Alzheimer's. There are three things that you really need to do if you want to remember something, and people often fail to do one or more of these three things. I'm going to tell you what the three are, and then I'll give you an example. The three strategies for remembering are to intend, to file, and to rehearse. Now, the first one is intention. You have to intend to remember something. You have to consciously say to yourself, I want to remember her name or his mm-hmm. name. I want to remember Jim Blasingame. So if I really want to remember Blasingame, then I need to move on to number two. If I've made up my mind, I really want to remember it, it has to be a conscious decision. You can't just say, my mind's like flypaper and I remember names and it'll stick. It seldom does. So then you got to move on to number two and come and you have to file it somehow. You have to organize it so that you have something to associate it to. Blasingame is not an easy word to remember. But if you can tie it into some kind of a visual image that's a part of your experience,
mm-hmm.
it becomes much easier to remember. So what I do is, okay, what is Jim's game? It has to do with talking. And one of my favorite German words is Blasen, B-A-L-S-E-N, which is to play a brass instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So you like to toot your horn, you like to toot small business horns, you like
right.
to toot your guest horns.
That's a lot of work, Pierce.
Well,
that seems like too much work.
But you see what I'm doing.
I do, I certainly do.
The work is explaining it, but to actually come up with it was real simple.
Yeah.
During the break, I was thinking to myself, what's the mnemonic to remember Blasen's game?
Yeah.
I said, his game is hot air.
Well, thank you for that. That means so much to me, Pierce.
Well, but see, what I'm saying is, that's a silly way to do it.
Okay, people, do not call in and agree with him there. I don't want you to do that. Go ahead.
That's a silly way to
You're
do
right,
it.
You're right, but
I remember it.
That's a memory hook.
I'll remember it that way.
That's what Ivan Meisner, the president of Business Network International, would call a memory hook.
Exactly.
Only he uses it. He uses that from a networking marketing standpoint. You're talking about using it from an internal way.
Exactly.
And of course, and what his point is help people out. People are searching for that memory hook, for their memory, to remember you, so help them out by giving them that memory hook.
I teach a graduate class for a local MBA program, and I make it a point to learn everybody's name the first night of class. And I do it while they're taking a questionnaire. I have everybody's class, I've written them all down, And then while they're filling out a questionnaire, I go through and develop a mnemonic for everybody in the class real quickly. And they're really, it doesn't take a long time. It's not a lot of work. Like I had one student, I've got one student whose last name is Campbell, and he was redheaded. So I visualized the red label of the Campbell soup can.
Yeah.
And it was a piece of cake.
Uh-huh.
He was Mr. Campbell. And then I had another guy who had a shaved head. And his name was Chris. So he was crystal, like a crystal ball. And it's just, but it's real easy.
Yeah.
And every now and then you come up with somebody that you just can't come up with a hook or an association. So you just have to learn those.
Yeah. So you intend, you intend, and I think that's really important, that you've got to say, and you got to do this in advance. You've got to say, okay, I'm going to remember this person's name or these the people I'm about to meet. And see, I do that. I was invited to come to a meeting to talk to some people yesterday about something that I know a little bit about, and there were about six guys there, and I'd never met these guys before. And they were all around a table, and sometime during that two-hour meeting, I was going to need to remember their names, and I've gotten to where over the last few years working on that, I've gotten to where I can do that pretty well. And typically, I'm not all that good with names.
Yes. Well, then, those aids really do help.
You have to intend to do it, and you've got to file that away, and then you've got to rehearse it. We're going to talk about this and a couple of other things some more as we come back to wrap up the hour with our good friend Dr. Pierce Howard, the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and our guest this hour, Pierce Howard, is the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. Pierce, give us your website one more time.
That's www.centax.com.
Folks, the book is huge. It's about, I don't know, it's 800 and something pages, but it's divided up into really nice bite-sized sections this is a reference. This is not a novel. This is a reference document, and I really recommend it to you. Tell me the price again, Pierce.
It's $24.95.
By the pound, that's a deal compared to some of the other stuff that you pay $25 for. Pierce, let's wrap up the hour talking about a couple of other things that I know you got on your mind. Talk to us about how to get a good night's sleep.
Well, there are several factors involved. The one that is most important is to understand that a good night's sleep is not based on the number of hours you sleep. It's the number of cycles you sleep.
Cycles.
The average person has a 1.5 hour cycle. You go through five phases, beta wave, alpha wave, gamma wave, etc. The fourth phase is so-called REM sleep. And we go through each of those five phases within one cycle, and the average length of a cycle is an hour and a half. For example, let's say you go to bed at 11 o'clock at night, and you need to wake up at 6. That's 7 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel like a truck hit you. If you will read for 45 minutes and go to bed at 11:45 instead, and then wake up at 6, with an alarm clock, you'll feel refreshed.
Why?
Because when that alarm goes off, you will be in the first 10 minutes or so of a new cycle before you're in deep sleep. It takes about 30 minutes to get into deep sleep. And you will feel much, much more refreshed if you wake up in the beginning of a cycle than if you wake up in the middle or towards the end of a cycle.
So you're saying it's better to sleep 6 hours than 6.5 hours?
Exactly.
That's what you're saying?
I'm saying that it's better to wake up in the beginning of a cycle than in the middle or the end. So let's say that the typical person is an hour and a half, which mine is. You can keep a sleep log, a sleep
How
journal.
How can we find that out?
Keep a sleep journal. Write down your sleep episodes. I describe this in the book, but write down, for example, when you go to sleep and when you wake up. So if you go to sleep at 11 and wake up at 2 to go to the bathroom, that's a 3-hour episode.
Mm-hmm.
And you write down the length of each episode in which you go to bed naturally and you wake up naturally. You don't include episodes in which you wake up by an alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find the lowest common denominator. And for most of us, it's about 90 minutes. So, as an example, last night I went to bed at 10 o'clock, which was very early. We were tired last night. And I needed to get up at 6:30 this morning to come in and talk with you. So if I back up from 6:30, 7.5 hours, that would be 11 o'clock. I need to be asleep by 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I went to sleep, like my wife did, right at 10 o'clock, I'd feel like a truck hit me at 6:30 when the alarm went off. So I read for 45 minutes.
I'll be done.
And then my time.
And obviously, this is something you're going to have to practice and try different things.
Sure.
Yeah. For yourself. I never thought about. I mean, I knew about REM sleep, but I didn't know about the cycles.
Now another important thing about a good night's sleep.
Pierce, you're going to have to hold that one till the next time.
Let's do it.
Write that down because we got to go for this hour. Thank you very much. We're going to have you back on in a few weeks. I'm going to talk about this some more.
Let's do it.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Good job.
Thanks.
Pierce Howard, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.